Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this May 23rd, 2025. Have your host James J. Mailoff here, and we are welcoming into the studio our good friend, resource specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin, Kim Inda. Hey, Kim.
Hello.
Hey, it's been a while.
It has been.
Well, as we were joking in our pregame, Kim usually joins us at least once a year. So this is our time with Kim that we get to hang out and stuff. Yeah. And always appreciate you joining us, Kim. And a big thank you to you and the team at the ADRCCW. We greatly appreciate all the work that you guys are doing in our community. And I hope you guys, hope things are going well over there.
They are going very well. Good. We're always staying busy. So that's
very
good.
Cool. Good. Let's dive right in. We've got some events to talk about.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention, starting now that we're in the middle of Memorial Day, coming real quick, and summer events, we have a Seniors Farmers Market Voucher Program that we help and coordinate with our local seniors. You need to be 60 years and older or 55 and a Native American. What the vouchers are that is really neat is you can take them to any farmers market within the state of Wisconsin, and any vendor that accepts the vouchers can get local fruits and vegetables. It has to be the raw product, so the local fruits and vegetables, but it goes from now until October, so you can get the good beans and peas and all that that starts right away, or you can save it for the fall, the apples that and pumpkins, all of that squashes. So it's really a great program. It's $25 that you can receive. And again, it helps towards that food bill and defraying the cost of that to get some good nutrition.
Everybody can relate to that and how every penny can help with it. In the time that you guys have been doing this, Kim, I've talked to a number of our listeners and even guests about this, and they rave about this. They are so thankful for it. Is that the response you've been seeing too?
Absolutely. And it gets really busy, like we were talking at the beginning, in our office right now to process those requests as they come in, which we're grateful for, so that we can get them out to our consumers so that they can then get the good fruits and vegetables.
You know, and this is a bit similar to when I talk about Meals on Wheels, but there is so much more than just nutrition and helping with those food costs involved with this, because it gives something to do. It gives an activity. It gives something to look forward to and some of that. And I hear about that just as much as I do how much they appreciate having the help with the food bill and some of that.
Absolutely, because there's so much more that's going on in the farmer's market than just getting that apple, banana, whatever, not banana so much around here, but, you know, fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. The socializing, the fellowship, some of that, maybe making new friendships and some of those things.
Yes.
There's so many positives to that program. It's been a real blessing ever since we've had it. It's a really cool one. If people want to find out more, we'll wrap up with getting Kim's information and letting you know where you can find that, everyone. Yeah. Volunteering at the ADRC CW. We have been talking about this for almost a decade. Volunteering and how important it is. Every year it becomes more and more important and more vital. Everybody has seen where there are cuts to just about every single government-run program out there. Our nonprofits are getting hit really hard by these things. So I feel pretty confident saying now more than ever, we could really use all hands on deck when it comes to just volunteering in our community. And the ADRC has a lot of unique opportunities to do that that really work with your schedule.
Absolutely. The one I think that I've talked about the most when I've come on this cast is volunteering for the meal sites. And there's so much variety within that, from packaging the meals, delivering the meals, to helping with the paperwork in the background. So that's just one spot. We also do community education throughout our area as well on different things like fall prevention, balance, that sort of thing that's important that we couldn't do without our volunteers helping run the classes, coordinate it, and even simple things like having office help and putting all the paperwork together for us that can make it easier for us to go out, or so that our staff can then do the things that are staff required, so to speak, versus something as simple that volunteers possibly could do.
I talk about this with the Family Center a lot. When I first started doing being really more involved with the work over there and doing things over there, where I was doing things that were, you know, stuff that I would do around my parents' house in many ways. And I didn't think I was really helping much. I didn't think what I was doing was really that much. But it is one less thing that the staff has to worry about so they can focus on the task at hand and what is really important and vital for our community.
Absolutely. And it's all important, from that simple folder that I take out every day when I meet with families, to having that put together and being able to utilize it, because we do all the time, to have somebody to do that. It's a simple task, people think, but it's that rewarding. And for the person who likes that organization and filing, it works out great.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And we know you're out there. We know there are those of you out there. So when it comes to that, or many of the other opportunities to be able to volunteer with the ADRC, once again, we will tell you how you can reach out to them before we wrap up today. But start making plans, everybody, because we could use you, and we appreciate those of you that have and will continue to volunteer with the ADRCCW.
And the nice part about it too, James, is just it can be an hour, it can be a couple hours, it can be a half a day, just depending upon how much time you have. It can be one day a week, it can be every day of the week. And there's so many benefits to volunteering. So.
Yeah, you guys really go above and beyond when it comes to working with the community and like what works with their schedule. And it's it could not be easier for people to be able to be a part of this. Yeah. And there is no words or phrase I can use to really give you an idea of what it's like when you do volunteer. The feeling you get, it's indescribable. I cannot encourage you enough to do so. Kim, it looks like the Marshfield office has moved. I wanted to touch on that.
That was a big undertaking this spring that we took on, and we are moving, or have moved, I should say, to the community center in Marshfield. The address is 211 East 2nd Street in Marshfield. And so our hours have reduced a little bit in Marshfield as a result of that. So just again, I encourage you, and we'll give my information at the end, to call prior to just walking in our office in Marshfield in particular, because sometimes our staff isn't as available to see people, but yet we want to see the people. So it's a matter of just setting up a time or doing a little bit more pre-planning than before. But it's a great space. We're located with other senior departments over there, so it's going to be great.
And everything we were talking about, volunteering and some of those things, the more volunteers we get, the more that we maybe be able to open up those hours or be able to offer more to the community and stuff. That they're doing everything they can on their end. It's, I think, on us as a community to help out where we can as volunteering and stuff. And thank you for updating our friends in Marshfield about that, Kim. Appreciate it. We're speaking with Kim Inda from the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. We touched on some events and everything. Kim, you brought up some great notes, and you have this caregiver journey. I appreciate you bringing this to the fold. Let's dive into this before we wrap up.
Sure, sounds good. So caregiving journey, that's just a phrase that I use when you become a caregiver, because no matter what age you are, you're either receiving caregiving, you're either a caregiver for somebody else, or will need caregiving in the future. And so I think it's just an important thing to get awareness out on how do we handle that caregiving journey and the education that we can help set people up for success. Because when you have to go into that role or switch roles and become a caregiver, it is a lot.
And so many people that get into this and are doing caregiving, while we have so many great professionals that have gone to school for it, and we appreciate them so very much, the people that have done those, a lot of us are, and I say us as somebody doing this, that are kind of, it's almost overnight and just kind of like almost seamlessly that this happens. It isn't almost as if, as an example, my parents and I sat down and like, well, Jimmy, you're going to be a caregiver now, or something like that. It just kind of happened over as time went on and everything. And when that happens, you don't necessarily get a playbook for something like this. So to new caregivers out there, are there some notes or some things you wanted to mention with that, Kim?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's important to just educate yourself. You know, is it a new disease? Is it a new thing that is going on with that person that's requiring the caregiver that is new for you, so that you can learn about it? You may not be going to doctor's appointments yet with that loved one to learn about the disease or learn about the condition. So it's important to educate yourself on what that is going to look like, because that will affect your role as a caregiver. It's also internally looking at what you can do on your own. You know, a lot of our caregivers are in that generation gap where they're still raising kids or still doing stuff with their kids as well as their parents. And so it's identifying how much time can I invest in this? It's obviously important to me, but what does it take for that commitment so that you can be a reliable caregiver for your loved one and be able to do what they need.
Mm-hmm. So. And, you know, one of the things that can help, especially with the chaos of everyday life and everything, is a little bit of organization, some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just organizing both, again, a schedule, if it needs to be that formalized at this point, so that the care receiver can identify when they're coming and know when you're going to be able to do this, because a lot of people get nervous if they're not sure, or if you say, mm-hmm. well, I'll come next week and we'll take care of that. Well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And are you really going to come? And so it's building that relationship and that trust, because it is a different role.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just the son, the daughter, the neighbor anymore.
Yeah.
They're relying on you and depending on you to provide that care. So it's organizing it, getting a schedule, and then also looking at the more important things related to finances and medical. Again, if it's a family member being that caregiver, to get involved in a lot of that, because again, we as a society don't have a lot of those conversations ahead of time. We internalize a lot of it. We take it on ourselves. We may have one child that we talk to about it, but we don't share it among everybody. Mm-hmm. And not that you want to go tell everybody your whole story, but at least have those key players that can understand it, know it, so that when you do need the help, it's not a stressful thing that you're starting from scratch.
Yeah, well said. And Kim, I think one of the harder things for any caregiver, whatever their situation, to talk about is the future, mm-hmm. in getting into that. But that is something that is really key to get into, especially while we have our people with us.
Yeah, simple things like... Again, I say simple things. They're not simple. It's conversations. Those conversations are hard. But, you know, setting up and pre-planning, talking about a funeral, depending upon what that life expectancy looks like, so that those wishes can be honored. What is important to me? Is it something where I always joked, I used to work at a nursing home, we would say, I want the corner room and I want champagne and strawberries every day. That was what we wanted. You know, we knew we were going to a nursing home. That's what we wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously we were joking about that. Yeah. But there is some truth to really understanding what's important to my loved one, to my family member, and do I know that? Mm-hmm. So that it can be a good relationship and a good journey.
I know for my family, one of the things that has helped us through hard times is comedy and finding the humor in the heaviness and stuff, and just where the little moments to laugh. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you doing that and bringing that up and using that as a great icebreaker, segue, whatever you want to say, that I don't think my family or maybe yours are alone in that. I think that's a great one. As human beings, this is just a great note of oftentimes these heavier topics to bring up sometimes. It can really ease it in. It can really, you know, help you get going on that topic. And I will say, I think for a lot of people, once you get over that initial kind of uncomfortableness, things start to roll. Things start to kind of go. Because more times than not, whether it's you or the person you are caring for, they've had these thoughts. It's not brand new to like, oh, I never thought of that. It's just they maybe haven't talked about it out loud or even talked about it with you.
Right. And also it's, again, looking at what is going to be important and starting to create that village or that community network of support, whether it be informal or formal caregivers, and what's most important to me. Time and time again, I hear, I don't want to go into an assisted living. I don't want to go into a nursing home. And those are big things to put on a caregiver's shoulder, because it's very hard to establish that network, to be able to avoid that sometimes. Sometimes you can do it, sometimes you can't. So it's important to establish what that village or what that community of support's going to look like, so that you can at least attempt to do the best that you can with honoring those wishes.
And a saying that I've been using a lot, and it really started, I've used it with a lot of different segments, but it really started talking when we were talking together with the ADRC about caregiving. For me, it's such a first instinct to do for the other and to help the other no matter what the scenario. But it took me being a caregiver to really learn, and talking with you guys at the ADRC to talk about this, talking about it out loud and realizing this is when you're on an airplane. and they tell you, you got to put your mask on first.
Right.
Because you may want to put it on the person next to you, really more than anything. All your human instincts say that, but you're going to pass out before you even get it on them.
Right.
So you got to take care of your own backyard. Yeah. You got to take care of yourself. And that is kind of where we're wrapping up as far as caregivers go, Kim.
Yeah, and it's just establishing and looking at, okay, as you get those initial needs set up, how do you take care of yourself in order to take care of that loved one? Because if you're sick yourself, if you're not in a good mental place, you're not going to be providing that best care that you can to your loved one. And so it's, again, asking for help. It is okay to ask for help. I don't know how many times I hear elderly spouses say, I can't ask my kids for help. And the kids then turn around and say, but why not? I'm here.
Yeah.
And so again, it's just having those conversations and knowing it's okay to ask for help. And it, on the flip side, it is also okay to say no if you can't,
mm-hmm.
because then you can look at what are the other resources in the community that can fill that need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expressing your feelings, having conversations. Again, I can't do this right now because of whatever, but let's figure out another way to make it happen. Or again, if you need to talk to your own professional person, a counselor, a neighbor, a friend that you trust about the situation, to just have somebody that's a good listener that can just be there and say, you're doing a great job, keep going, rock it, so that you can continue on. Mm. You know, that is so important because it's hard. And it's long. It can be a long journey.
And we all could use a cheering section here and
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, the other thing is, like we talked about earlier with volunteering, avoiding socialization for yourself and isolating yourself, getting out and talking with others. Again, this is not something that's just James or I going through.
Right.
Everyone is going through it. So there's always somebody else that's going to have a story or have a listening ear to be able to talk with you about and get your mind off of what the issue is that's going on for your caregiving situation.
And just like we were talking about, we're talking about some of those harder subjects with the person you're caring for or anything. Yeah, I think you'll find with most everyday people, when you bring these things up, you're going to see a lot of similar nods and a lot of like similar, okay, I get what you're seeing, and a lot of relatability there, which can help with this, with what we're talking about.
Yeah. And the other thing is, to have that communication and, support groups can be a wonderful spot for that, because there is no cookie cutter with any of this. And so what might work for your mom or your neighbor is not going to work for the next person because they're more stubborn or they're more this or more that. And so it's so important to just, again, talk to others.
Thought you were talking about my dad specifically for a second there.
But I don't know your dad.
Or any of our dads out there.
Exactly.
Yes. And taking breaks, taking care of yourself. These are also key to this.
Yeah, it is okay to take a weekend off and say, hey, let's find somebody else. Or can a sibling from out of town come in to do a weekend and have it scheduled so you know that it's coming so it doesn't feel so daunting? I know we, you know, it's hard with schedules, but if you can say, okay, I have another 2 weeks and then I'm going to get a break. That eye and that prize, so to speak, is so important to be able to get that rest, rejuvenation, and then start all over. So.
Kim, I cannot thank you enough for the time and the conversation. As always, great always hanging out with you. If people have follow-up questions, would like to know more, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so you can give us a call. We have staff available 8 to 4 o'clock Monday through Friday. And by calling just our 1-800 number, you will get a resource specialist or staff in our offices, and they will be able to answer just day-to-day questions. Or if you need to meet with somebody, we can set up an appointment. But that phone number is 888-486-9545.
Give that call. Give them a call anytime with any of your questions or any if any availability you have of volunteering. You can also email them adrc@adrc-cw.org. And of course, their website, adrc-cw.org. Be sure to follow them on social media as well, everybody. And any chance you get, be a part of things over at the ADRC. Let's help them doing the great work that they're doing. It's always good to see you, Kim. You guys say hi to the staff over there for us, and have a great weekend. And we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, James.
And thank you for joining us, everyone. Thanks for joining the conversation here at WFHR's Rapids Report.